You've got enough on your plate. Mundane meals shouldn't be one of them. Get an endless variety of the freshest, best-tasting food from award-winning chefs delivered to your door with Cook Unity, all at a fraction of the cost and time you're spending now. Take a load off and leave your meal prep to Cook Unity, affordable food crafted by award-winning chefs delivered straight to your door. Go to cookunity.com/podcast or enter code podcast before checkout for 50% off your first week.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I walk a straight line, shackle and chain. Oh, gruesome Gertie is calling my name. There is no mercy in this penitentiary. Just ask the Hill String Gang, Rango the Three.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back to Bloody Angola, a podcast 142 years in the making, the complete story of America's bloodiest prison. I'm Jim Chapman. Woody is visiting his grandchild, his brand new baby, this week. And today I'm dropping an episode that is not our regular drop day. We normally drop on Thursdays. You're getting this on Tuesday. And you know, when Woody's away, I just go crazy and I start dropping episodes left and right on days when they're not supposed to be dropped. So I'm giving you a little something extra today. And I thought this was something you all would enjoy. I'm going to call this episode Back to the Beginning. Before we dropped even the very first episode of Bloody Angola, we did an interview with the Livingston Parish News, and an amazing guy by the name of McHugh David actually conducted this interview. He has a podcast called the Livingston Parish News Podcast. We were happy to go on there and talk about Bloody Angola when we were first conceiving it, right? So I thought you all would enjoy listening to this interview. It really is interesting, and it's funny looking back on it now, six seasons in, and the things that we've covered and how we envisioned that in the beginning. So here it is, that interview with the Livingston Parish News at the very start of Bloody Angola podcast.
And welcome back to the Livingston Parish News Weekly Show, a podcast brought to you by the Livingston Parish News. My name is McHugh David, publisher and editor of the news, and I'm joined by two special guests, one of which, well, actually both of which, I think our audience knows, because y'all have been here before. But we are going to let you guys introduce yourself so we can put a voice to a name. Let's start on the viewer's right.
And I'm Woody Overton.
The Woody. Can we put the trademark V in front of it? I am the Woody Overton.
I appreciate that.
And Jim Chapman.
All right. And today y'all are here to talk about a new podcast series, which is kind of exciting, pulls a lot from your background. Of course, I believe you'll be producing it, and it'll be coming out of your studio over there off Del Norte. So it's called Bloody Angola. My God, there's a lot of stories to tell.
Yeah.
So first and foremost, let's go all the way back like I like to do to the beginning, and let's start with the conversation y'all had, like, or who it was your idea?
Actually, both of ours. Jim is, I'm a huge fan of history, but also I have the experience in corrections and law enforcement, and Jim is the historian behind Bloody Angola. So we've been kicking it around for a long time. And
One day we just started talking, and we were kind of brainstorming podcasting and things we could do together. Our shows are so different that we have individually, and we both share a big affinity for prisons. And I've always been a history buff when it came to prisons of any type, whether it was Sing Sing or Angola or you name it. But we're I don't know if you call it fortunate, but we're in a unique position here in South Louisiana that we have the oldest prison in the United States right here in South Louisiana, and one of the most notorious
and the largest
Yeah, it's huge. 18,000 acres.
That's a lot, right?
Yeah.
Over 28 square miles. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to say just north of Baton Rouge, but it's in West Feliciana Parish.
It's in the extreme northern part of West Feliciana Parish.
Right up there against the river. And a lot of interesting history about how it came about. Almost, one might say, sort of a carrying on of slavery in a way, the early days anyway.
You know, and nobody likes to talk about that, and slavery certainly is a hard subject, but the things we're going to be bringing to y'all on Bloody Angola are all true facts, okay? And it's history, and certainly nobody's proud of it. I mean, did you know that women were housing in the prison also, and before the Civil War, if you were a woman prisoner and you got raped and you had a baby, the state of Louisiana was the law. The state of Louisiana claimed the baby and sold it as a slave.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, we're starting off with some interesting facts here, but I mean, it's real, that happened. So that's part of it's a big part of the state's history.
Right.
It drew national attention, mostly scrutiny, several times during its lifespan. Usually coming after state level budget cuts, you know, they'd cut the budget there, and it kind of turned into the Wild West, so to speak. So we've talked about real quick, y'all sort of commiserated, came up with the idea. What's it been like to record those episodes between the two of you? I mean, usually you're the producer, you do your own interviews. You said y'all's podcasts are different. So how have y'all come together for this?
Well, and I'll speak first on this. First of all, it was kind of a dream to get involved in any project with Woody. In my opinion, the best storyteller bar none anywhere in the world. And his accolades show it. So from a selfish perspective, I wanted to work with him because it was kind of a dream of mine. But aside from all that, the way we bounce off of each other, the way we flow when we're podcasting together is unique. It's a hard thing to find. We very rarely hesitate. It's a conversation every time we sit down. And my strength has always been the interview side of things. So with Bloody Angola, one of the things that we're doing that is unique from any podcast you'll see is we're blending storytelling and interview styles together. Some episodes will be the majority will be Woody telling a story because that's his realm. That's what he's great at. There will be some episodes where maybe we'll have somebody sitting across from us that you'll be surprised maybe so look for that in the future. But that'll be more of an interview style where maybe that's where I would shine. You know, my aspect of what I bring to the show will shine. So
we've done numerous podcasts in the past, right? Local Leaders and stuff like that. But before he was my producer for Real Life for Crime and now Scorched Justice. But we've always played well together, right? That sounds bad, but we played, bounced off each other well. It's a natural flow. You know this as an interviewer. For me, my best episodes are when I get done and I don't remember what I said. Right.
Right.
All right. So that I've always had that connection with Jim, and I knew we wanted to do something together, and nobody's doing the inside prison stories like we're going to bring with Bloody Angola.
Sure. So I want to keep a pin in that because you said there's going to be guests. I want to ask about that in a minute, but I want to jump over to you. And, you know, we have the producer and the interviewer. We got the storyteller. So give us a little bit of idea of your background as to where you're pulling this information from.
My family actually has a long history on Angola. My mother was raised on the Beeline. And for you listeners that don't know, the Beeline is the correction officer community that's inside the wire of Angola. It's in they actually have their own zip code, Angola does, and they have their own post office, et cetera. But my mama was raised there. My aunt was born there. And my grandfather was the first parole officer ever to live on the grounds. And then he would become the district attorney for that area and end up prosecuting crimes that happened. And my father was assistant district attorney. When Brent Miller got killed, the Angola 3, they prosecuted him. And then later on, that is a story for another day, what happened with Angola 3. But I have a lot that I got into corrections, and I believe every law enforcement professional should have to start out in corrections because that's where you learn the people that you can be dealing with in your regular career. So, but the criminal mind has always fascinated me, but I'm telling you that all my law enforcement, all the homicide, et cetera, none of it fascinates me to this day as what occurs inside the wire in Angola. It is a total different world. It's a total different set of rules. It's just, it'll blow your mind.
Now, when you're saying the wire, that's the outer gate.
Right, right. So most prisons have walls, right?
Sure.
Angola doesn't. It's surrounded on three sides by water, and the backside is Tunica Hills. But their camps are spread out for security reasons and other reasons. Inmates can be close to the fields and the locations they work, et cetera. But it's all fence. And then it has concertina wire, or several fences and concertina wires, depending on the security level of the camp. So there's actually no walls in Angola. There are very few when you drive through the front gates. There's, you know, a couple sidewalls.
Sure. Almost like
so when I say the wire, that's the wall, right?
Sure. And you know, it's interesting because it kind of gives, when you drive through that front gate, it gives the feeling of it, but then you pull through and it's like expands.
Yeah, yeah. You can't even see all the camps, right?
Right. So it's interesting, you know, going back to what we were talking about with regard to sort of an extension of slavery, it was actually, you know, the prison was called The Walls.
Right.
It was more in the Baton Rouge area. They bought that land from plantation owners because it kept flooding.
That's right.
So that kind of makes it interesting, too. You know, here in Livingston Parish, we're no strangers to floods.
Yeah, no doubt.
And so, you know, imagine being a massive landowner and you're like, well, yeah, you want it? Sure, take it.
Right, right.
So talking about guests, that's a very interesting perspective because you're pulling historically. You've got firsthand experience, both familial and you worked in corrections.
Right.
I don't want to give away names, don't want to surprise people, but what was it like to approach people and say, hey, we're doing this, we're doing the show, you want to come give an interview?
Well, that was the interesting thing when we released, kind of made this big announcement that, hey, we're going to have a podcast that we believe is like no other you're ever going to find or see anywhere else in that community. I could not tell you the massive amount of people that reached out to us that, hey, my uncle was in Angola for 20 years and he'd love to sit down and talk to you.
The not only convicts, right? People who were down that want to tell their story, but correction officers, career correction officers, correction officers, families that have been there for generations.
Yes.
And how about, I'm going to let the cat out of the bag, if we could bring you an interview or several interviews with the physician who attended every death row inmate for over 30 years.
Wow. Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool.
That would be cool.
The stories he could tell you, including everything from Derek Todd Lee to, you know, whoever got killed 30 years ago. Right?
Sure.
Yeah. It's really unlimited the amount of potential that we could have with guests. But one thing I can assure you of is it will be something where it might be someone different every time they come on. As Woody said, it could be a correctional officer, you know, this particular season of this particular week, and it might be someone that's still in Angola.
Right. Or we might just be telling a history story about something famous that happened there.
Hey, y'all, it may be moving towards the end of another summer, but that doesn't mean I can quit watching what I eat. We all know home-cooked meals are so much better for you, but you don't always have time to pull it off. But with HelloFresh handling all the meal planning, shopping, and most of the prep, it's easier than ever to get dinner on the table quick and painless. There's always new flavors to explore with an ever-changing menu of 50 recipes to choose from every week. Just pick your meals and your delivery date. It's that simple. With summer in the rearview mirror and busier days ahead, now is the perfect time to save money when it comes to your dinner routine. Skip the meal planning and grocery store lines and cut down on food waste with HelloFresh's convenient doorstep delivery and pre-measured ingredients. My favorite aspect of HelloFresh is the vast array of menu options. Look, I can burn out on eating the same things over and over again, but with HelloFresh, I don't ever run out of options. Y'all, I tried the spinach one pan chicken last week, and all I can say is my mouth is still watering. It was that good. For free breakfast for life, go to HelloFresh.com/freebloodyangola. One free breakfast item per box while subscription is active. That's free breakfast for life just by going to HelloFresh.com/freebloodyangola. HelloFresh is America's number one meal kit.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So I never wanted to be a lawyer like everybody in my family because I didn't want to sit behind the same desk every day and push the same papers. This podcast will always be different, right? It's the same way in my career. Everything's always going to be different. You never know what you're going to get, but I can tell you something that's going to rock your socks, baby.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah, it's going to be interesting. Yeah. So let's talk about that. You're talking about each episode is going to be different weekly.
Yes.
Weekly drops. Yes. Okay.
On Thursdays.
Okay. Yeah. And hey, y'all have pre-recorded the whole thing?
We're still in the first season. We've recorded several episodes.
Yes. Okay.
We only have a couple left. And the first season is going to be 8 weeks.
Okay. So y'all kind of gave yourself a little buffer.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. Cool. Any idea y'all are going to carry this as long as it'll go?
I have high expectations, not just hopes. I firmly believe that people are interested, and we're going to carry it forever.
Sure. Well, I mean, it's an infamous place,
right?
So I'm sure, it definitely plays to your current audience, I would imagine.
Right. Right. Right.
I guess I would hope. I would hope they'd be able to make that connection. So, you know, talking about we've gone through a lot of different parts of this. But I think one of the interesting things that you've brought up is you know, you find the criminal mind fascinating, but that makes me want to jump over to you. So what's it like to go through this with them? Because I imagine, and I guess we should go ahead and presuppose this, there's going to be some graphic content.
Absolutely.
To be considered. So what was it like for you to be kind of sitting there? Like, I know you've listened to Real Life Real Crime. Yeah. You and I have talked about it
Love
in
it.
The past.
Yeah.
But, you know, what was it like to sit there and be like, you know, wow, I'm on the camera, on the mic, and we're talking about this.
Yeah, it was very invigorating to me. I almost felt released a little bit. So I have an affinity for small business. That's what my podcast is about. But very rarely in my podcast do that type of subject matter come up, McHugh. So for me, it is almost, I have so much love for that genre of podcasting that I felt like I was being kind of set free to talk about something that I've always wanted to talk about. And that was true crime and things that occur in prison specifically. And this was my opportunity to do that, but I'll expand on that, for 1 second. when I watch Woody tell a story, I learn something every single time I do it. Yesterday, we were recording a podcast, and he made some suggestions that had never crossed my mind. And I've been podcasting a long time, and I'm just thinking, wow. And that's like off the top of his head. But it's the difference between what I do and what he does that I respect so much. It's very, very hard to talk to yourself in it with a camera there. It's a lot easier to bounce off of somebody. What he does a lot harder than what I do. And so I get to learn from that. What could be better?
Sure. Wow. This is a blessing, man. Well, it's fire. I can't wait for the people to see it.
Okay. Okay. Well, we've gone pretty quick. I've got a couple of specific questions. And, you know, I think some people would be interested because we've touched briefly on a couple of historical points. Mm-hmm. Obviously, over 100 years of history in that facility. One of the things, of course, we talked about before we press play is, you know, and people here in Livingston Parish might love this story, and I'll let you touch a little bit more on it. But one of the things we talked about, September 11th, 1941, first, and isn't that an interesting date, first traveling electrocution by chair.
Right.
And it was right here, Livingston Parish. So tell us a little bit about
that. So most people don't know the death penalty. It used to be state law, whatever parish you got convicted in, and sentenced to death in, they would bring the electric chair on the back of a flatbed trailer with this monstrous generator, and they did a public execution. And the very first time they did it was right here in Livingston Parish on September 11th, 1941. Yep. Yeah, so right before we got involved in World War II. And they said it was a public spectacle. It was almost like a party. And people were selling popcorn and all this stuff. And you'd think it'd be the summer occasion, but no, everybody came out to watch these people fry. And literally they fried. And there was no science to it back then, but the shaving of the head and the wet sponges and all that. Hey, they hooked them up and they literally smoked them like a pack of Cools, right?
Yeah.
they burn them up, right?
Right.
Right here in the LP, baby. That's another great fact.
Yeah. And well, I wanted to bring that particular piece up because so people can understand what they can expect.
Right,
I mean, that was part of, you know, part of the reason they do executions at Angola is because things went so off the rails.
That's right. That's
when
right.
they were traveling around. I don't believe that practice lasted very long.
No,
it was just
no,
a few years.
No.
But, you know, it's interesting because you're going to be for two reasons. One, that's why they ended up doing public executions at Angola. But two, that's the level of graphic people can kind of expect.
So the you know, certainly executions, everything to the last meals, which always has fascinated me. They have a cook in Angola that does nothing but prepare the condemned's last meals. And so we're going to talk about those on episodes and things like that. But their last words, you know, did you know Burl Cain, everyone he ever executed, the last thing he would say to him is prepare to see the face of Jesus. As that when they're strapped down on the table, was it so the yes, it's going to be graphic, but not sensationalized.
Sure,
right? It'll be the truth, hardcore facts. And look, we of course I have a warning for real life, real crime. We certainly did a warning before this. You know, should be 18 or older, and doesn't present our views. And they like the prison terms and things that are. Inmates say to each other, and it's a lot of shit. It's really offensive to people, and I get that, but it's not, we didn't make these words up, you know what I'm saying? But we're not going to hold back on it to be politically correct.
Sure.
We're telling you what they say.
Sure. And that was gathered during your time in corrections.
Yeah. Right.
And
right.
I'm sure from interviews.
Right.
And other
well, things. And it goes on every day now. Yeah.
Sure.
It's not something we making up. This is real stuff.
Sure. And prisons have their own ecosystem.
Absolutely. It's a whole different world, brother. The world that when you walk through those gates, society's rules don't apply. And I'm talking about everything from how they look at you, your sexual orientation to whatever. It's just they have their own set of rules.
Sure. Sure. It's an interesting. Well, it's kind of like you said, again, before we got started, it almost smells different.
The air doesn't even taste the same.
Yeah.
It's just it, you know. Convicts will say, do your time, don't let your time do you. Well, guess what? Correctional officers, and some of them are the best people in the world, but some are the worst people in the world. But the when you're a CO, you're actually doing time in my book, because you're there 12 hours, you know, rotating that ship out. You can't get out.
Yeah.
And you're in that world. You're in their world. So we're going to bring it to you in Bloody Angola.
That's interesting. And that's an interesting way to put it. Right. You know, you've built a prison for these guys, but those guys are in there with them.
That's right.
So let's turn back to the historian here. You mentioned it, I believe it's 142 years of history regarding this prison. Where did y'all decide to start? Was there a starting point, or did y'all kind of throw darts?
There was a starting point, and of course, it sounds cliche, but we started right at the beginning. We felt it was important with our first episode to set the scene of what was to come. That episode was entitled The Walls, and we started off with how Angola was born. It was a very interesting episode, eye-opening episode, and one that probably a lot of people right here from, you know, Livingston Parish in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, did not realize that they had a prison in downtown Baton Rouge.
Sixth Street and Laurel.
Yes. Yeah. And so right in the downtown. And we tell the story of what happened to that and how it led to things like convict leasing and Angola Plantation, and Mr. James, who bought that, who owned Angola Plantation and basically leased all those prisoners. And even after slavery,
and they were also starting
to still enslaved.
From the history report, we want to tell the story. Okay. And so we had to start, and it's a great episode. Don't get me wrong. But we had to start with the history, okay? And it's probably the most generic and least offensive episode that I'll ever be. Like, when I started Real Life Real Crime, in retrospect, I shouldn't have started with the worst story I had, right? But this one, the story is still great, McHugh. The story is so interesting. The history. I'm a history buff, too. And I learned things that Jim Research said I didn't know about. And the story is great, and it's going to segue into, you know, what it's going to segue into.
As Woody put it, was the tamest story you'll hear the entire season, but it ain't that tame.
Right.
That's right.
There's a lot of hard things to hear in that episode, really, I promise you.
Yeah. Well, yeah, everything has a beginning, and, you know, there's a reason for it. And, I mean, I understand that. Obviously, you wanted to start with, this was the origin story, right? Everybody's got to have an origin story.
Lay that groundwork, right.
Sure. And, you know, here's a question. When you're talking about research, y'all might bring this up in the podcast as well, but like, let's say people are listening and they hear something and they're like, man, you know, I'm sure they weren't able to touch on all that. I'd like to go read about it or find out about it. Mr. Historian, where did you go?
Well, here's, you know, obviously we have in the palm of our hands now, Google. And sure, Google's you can't believe everything on Google, but it's a great place to kind of start. I look through a lot of Wikipedias. A lot of the stories are kind of new because I've always had an affinity for that particular prison. A lot of things I had to research. There's a guy by the name of Charlie Frazier that is probably one of the most infamous of all Angola inmates. Actually escaped in 1933 with 11 other guys, and it was his 19th escape from a prison. The guy had a rap sheet longer than Billy the Kid. I mean, it was
crazy.
Used to run
with Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. So and my point to that is I went to research him. You would be shocked. There's almost nothing you can find on that guy, but I managed to find a book that was written by I believe he was a newspaper guy out of New Orleans. And he wrote a book that is far long out of print and very expensive now. That I guess we may end up having to get.
Harry Connick Jr. bought the rights to that book when on a visit to Angola, and he's going to make a movie.
Oh, wow.
It's called Conviction.
Conviction.
So, cool. Yeah. So you started with Google, and if somebody hears something on your podcast and they're like, I want to learn more about that, it's a good place to start.
Yeah.
But you may find yourself running into the brick wall of out-of-print books.
Right. It's amazing. You know, I was shocked there wasn't more on this guy.
Yeah.
But you know, history is just ate up some of that history with him. But we're fortunate we're going to make some trips to Angola and even see what's going on today.
We even spent some time on the phone with my mother yesterday before we recorded, and she's telling about, you know, they used to have the inmates in their house dressed in all whites, and they cooked and cleaned for them every day. I told you my aunt was born there. She said, I remember when Cynthia was born, your pawpaw saying that that inmate kept making so many biscuits. She said, I never saw so many biscuits in my entire life. I mean, they did it. So, but anything that hard facts like that, it will be in the show notes that Jim will put down. But a lot of this stuff is coming from people who lived it.
Yes.
Right. Right. So it's very fascinating. So y'all have a wide variety of information sources, everything from historical sources to firsthand accounts and interviews.
Right.
So people are going to get everything, full encompassing sort of picture, you know, and it's always interesting too, to compare what you can read historically and then what people on the ground had to say.
That's right.
So, okay. I'm sorry. I may have spoiled part of it, but looking forward to listening to it. Absolutely. So anything y'all would like to close with as we reach about 25 minutes here?
I definitely want to mention, you'll probably be watching this podcast the same day that we drop the first episode of Bloody Angola. It'll be out everywhere. It's on all your audio platforms. Unique to YouTube, we will have a totally interactive experience. And what we mean by that is, you will see, as we're talking, pictures pop up of individuals that we may be talking about, places we may be talking about, pictures you probably can't find anywhere else. Those will show up on that YouTube, and you're going to see me and Woody interact back and forth while we're telling these stories. Some people call that video podcast or vlogs. We call that the Bloody Angola Experience.
There you go. Yeah,
excellent. Excellent. And like you said, anywhere you can, if you can't, or you don't want to look it up on YouTube, anywhere in the world, you can download a podcast. Bloody Angola is there. And we have our social media.
Yes. Yes. We have, obviously bloodyangola.com, where all our audio and video episodes will be linked. And we also have Facebook and Instagram at Bloody Angola. It's bloodyangolapodcast.com is the website. And we do want to shout out our sponsors real quick. Yes, we don't have to go by name, but we had a lot of sponsors that you will see throughout these episodes that helped us to bring this to people. None of this production stuff is cheap, as you well know.
Right.
And
each one of our sponsors, we back them 1,000%, and we use their products or we're customers of their business.
That's right. We had a lot reach out, and we went with the ones that we have used before, and we know their service.
Right. So. Excellent people, and thank y'all.
Sure. So if you'll be looking for the show, you should. It's going to be on all your podcast platforms, as well as YouTube and bloodyangolapodcast.com, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and that'll be kind of a hub for all of your material as well, I would imagine.
That's right. You can get anything there that you need.
Always a good idea to start with the website. So let's let these two gentlemen, who have become very famous, I was about to say infamous, but I guess that's the theme of today.
That's right. Yeah, it's a combination.
It might be accurate for me.
But very famous in the local podcasting world. Let's start with the viewers left.
Jim Chapman, co-host of Bloody Angola.
And Woody Overton, co-host of Bloody Angola.
And my name is McHugh David, publisher and editor of the news. Appreciate these two gentlemen for taking the time here on Wednesday afternoon to come sit down. Of course, this will be running Thursday morning. Please remember, if you're listening to it, the minute you're done, go download Bloody Angola. First episode will be out tomorrow, Thursday, July 21st, 2022. Excellent. Please remember that the news is on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, and YouTube. We are once a week in print on Thursdays at $7 a month to get that in your mailbox. We're also online, www.livingstonparishnews.com, and we have an app to go with that. We do appreciate you joining us, and we'll see you next time.
I walk a straight line, shackled and chained. Oh, gruesome girdle. Calling my name. There is no mercy in this penitentiary. Just ask the Hill String Gang, Rango the Three. I'm here for life, I'm here to die.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.